How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Adam and Megan are here. Have you been here since you've been married? No. Oh, you look different. So they're attending Megan's church, but every once in a while they sneak in and visit us. So we would love to have them dropping in. So thanks for coming, guys. Want to pray before we get started here. And we know that on a Sunday service, people come and you're all different places. Some of you are very spiritually full of faith, excited, and some of you are barely hanging on. Some of you are wondering why you're here. The whole gamut is here. But what we love about God is He's very personal and He wants to communicate to all of us. And so when I pray for our time, would you also in your heart, would you do best you know how to open yourself up? God just loves us to be honest with Him and He loves to communicate to us. And so if you just say, hey, I'd like to hear from you if you want to talk, and He's amazingly good about communicating to us, and but it is a relational thing and He wants us to yield to Him. So would you do that as we pray and as we pray for the offering in our time? Holy Spirit, we just invite Your presence here, and I pray that you will really be here in a way that will communicate Your truth and Your character and Your love. I pray that you'll, especially with people who are just going through a lot of stuff, it's difficult, I pray that you'll come and really bring encouragement and comfort to them and communicate to them. I pray that we'll walk away today knowing You better and having a more clear vision for our life and what we're here for and what You want to do in our lives. And so we just invite You to do whatever You want today. We want to really welcome You in the whole rest of this service. We pray that same thing for the children, that they will, as they interact with their teachers, they will come away understanding who You are at a deeper level and having their life more connected to You. So we just invite Your presence here. God, just meet us here. You know each one of us. You know what we're going through, and You understand where we're at, and I pray You'll meet each one of us individually. And Lord, as we take this offering, we give it to You as our worship, and we thank You for how You provide for us. Use it for the things that matter, that are eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. The offering, as we always say, is for those people who are committed to our church. So if you're a guest, feel guilt-free in letting it go right on by. So, we're actually at the end of our 40 days. I'm hoping you've enjoyed it. I've heard really good reports. It's just kind of nice to have, as pastors, you hear both the good and the bad. I've heard a lot of good. So I'm sure there may be a few bad things. But as a rule, I've heard some really good things that God's been doing in the groups and in people's lives. And so this will be our last teaching on it. And again, but I do encourage you, if you've been in a group, figure out other ways of getting connected. We have other groups that are going on and hope that continues on for you. As I thought about this, is we're going to be talking about working with Jesus. Now, we'll explain that a little bit more as we go through it. But as I've thought about these weeks that we've gone through in 40 Days of Faith, of what it is, how do we love beyond our own limits, and letting God come through us as we love other people. We've covered a lot of areas. And I begin thinking about, when you get towards the end of a series, as a pastor, I think, did this really do anything? I mean, that's how I kind of blunt. I think, did this change anything? Are you actually doing any more of this? Are you stirred more in the area of loving people beyond your limits? Or has it just been, oh, nice series, Dave, good graphics, you entertained me? I don't know. And as I thought about that, I thought, it's really been challenging for me. I thought I was someone really stepping out, and as I've really seen how much it talks about loving others as the central part of how we express our love for God, it's really challenged me in a lot of different ways. And as I looked at it, I thought, well, I think there's some things that we got clear on that I think are not as hard to understand. And I think one of the things that is pretty, I think we agree on, and it's pretty easy to grasp, is that people need the love of God and the power of God. You don't even have to be a Christian to understand that. You look around, and you look at people's sadness, their discouragement, the pain they're going through, the difficulties, the abuse, all the things that were going on. And man, people need love. I mean, and I think most people know that. The Beatles knew that, right? All you need is love, right? And what did they do? They broke up. But after that, they knew that that's what they needed, right? In fact, with a song that has probably one of the highest numbers of, like 100 artists have recorded this song professionally, is, let's see what it was. Donna Summers made it famous. What was it? Oh, What the World Needs. Oh, They're not going further. Okay, so, and as cheesy as that is, there's a reason that it hits something in saying that's what we need. And so people get that. But it doesn't take long to realize it's more than just kind of warm love. We look around and we say, man, this love has to have power. We got people in trouble. Now, you just look around the news, you look at what's around in your neighborhood, in your own life, you think, man, we need more power of God in His love. So I think we can get that one down pretty good. So I think, yeah, hopefully that has been reminded, we've been reminded of that and refreshed of how much the world needs the love. But also I think it's pretty easy for us to grasp that, as we've talked about in this series, is that we're the vehicle for that love and that power. And so God comes through us. The way He expresses His love is through people like you and I interacting with each other, and the power and the love of God comes through us supernaturally and affects people. And I think most of us can say, I've experienced it. I've experienced someone loving me in a way that it had a huge impact on me. It changed my life. It showed me I understood God better. Maybe you've even understood that as you've prayed and or loved someone else, it's done the same for them. So I think as a church we say, yeah, we're getting that one. I think that's pretty good to understand. But where I feel like the difficulty becomes, when I get to this point of, you know, last time we talked about the Good Samaritan, that moment you cross the street, that you give yourself over, the time that you step out and listen to someone and put their interest above your own, and you invest your time, energy, money, that point that you start truly, actually loving someone in this place that God puts in front of you, here's the thing I think that is difficult. If my life is devoted to delivering the power and love of God to others, the question is will I be fulfilled? Now, I know the Christian answer. I know the biblical answer. I know I always say, yes, I will be, David. I know that. But really, that's what causes us to not step out. We wonder if this will actually... I have my new iPhone here turning on here. I forgot to turn it off. Okay. I'll be back with you in a second. All right. Siri, tell him to stop it. All right. So, all right. I know some of you are thinking about calling me. Don't do it. I'm telling you. I am not going to shut this off. All right. It has happened before in this church. So, you know, as we think about that is that, you know, this is that feeling of saying, well, you know, this is where I think we have a difficult time. Because we start thinking, okay, because as we talk about these weeks, we've talked about it, it's this whole thing of there's this moment of relinquishing, of letting go of our time, energy, money as ours and giving it to someone else, of risking and putting someone's interests above our own. There's that point that when you do that, you wonder, is this going to work or not? You know, when you step out and pray for someone, you might even know it's the right thing to do. You might even know if you do it, it will be a good thing. But what keeps you from stepping out more? And in the way that we see loving beyond our limits in this whole series. And as I think about that, I think it's this feeling of the question is, if I lose my life, as biblical terms, if I lose my life, if I start putting the interests of others equal to my own and even above my own, if I quit holding on to my time and energy as mine and my plans as mine and begin relinquishing them to God and letting Him do what He wants with them, you know, if I'm to really love someone as Christ loved me, if I'm supposed to forgive someone as Christ loved me, and this is some radical stuff. And the question becomes when we start to get to that point is, will I really be fulfilled? Or in biblical terms, if I give my life away like this, will I actually find it or not? And so this is the big question. And so today, here's what I'm going to basically talk on. Yes, you will be fulfilled. And God wants to assure you will be fulfilled. In fact, it's not that you'll just be fulfilled. I believe with all my heart, this is the only way you'll find true fulfillment with your life on earth, is to give yourself over to the mission of God of loving people. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, I want to start with kind of the big picture as we talk about this. And this is, some of you are like, I'm all in on this. I want to love people. I want to do this. And if you're doing really well at that, that's great. I'm just saying, do it more. God has more for you. There's always a spot like, I'm fully devoted to Christ. Really? Well, I kind of am, and there's more. So I encourage you, if you're already someone who's really giving their life away to other people and loving other people, and that's really a central focus of your life, I hope this encourages you to say you're on the right track and do it more. But some of you are probably the spot where the whole thing of following Jesus, you know it's leading to this. And you fear following Jesus completely because you wonder if you're going to lose your life and not find it. If it's going to be fulfilling or if it's going to be a bummer to give your life over to Christ. And I think God wants to assure you that this is something that is what you're made for. And that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the first things I just say in this is that, it's kind of looking at the big picture on this, is that, you know, when we start talking about fulfillment and what God wants to do, we have to understand that if God is really good, like we say He is, and He's loving, and He's actually the Creator and we're the creation, well, we have to understand that if we say to the Creator, you know, I will disregard what you say, I can guarantee you're not going to find fulfillment. It just doesn't work that way. In other words, even in just good thinking, it's saying if He is truly who we say He is, then what He says, if we do what He says, fulfillment comes from doing those things. All right? And so, look at this in Luke. This is, if you say, well, what's God after in my life? Well, you know, we have a lot of things we could flip around the Bible. Let's narrow this down a little bit. Let's go down to the spot of what's He after. First off, if you summarize what God's after, He's after us. He's commissioned us with the Great Commission, and He's given us the Great Commandment. All right, that pretty well summarizes why you're here on this earth. Because Jesus was asked this numerous times, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, this Great Commandment, and the commission is from Jesus, who is commissioning all His disciples before His ascension into heaven. Pretty good things to pay attention to. So this is what we're here for. Now, so what is the Great Commandment? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is the question he was asked, and the guy got it right. This is say that is exactly what you must do. Okay? And then I love what Jesus says later on after he explains this. He goes, if you do this, you'll live. And that's not just talking about you won't die physically. It's not even talking about just heaven. It's saying you will experience life. When Jesus came in John 10:10, he says, I've come to what? To give you life and life to the full. He's saying, if you do this, you will experience life. Then we go on to the commission where he's in his resurrected body and he's commissioning the disciples as he leaves and he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you can imagine those disciples looking at that, they're going to say, okay, because they knew these. What you realize when you realize this is what we're called to do, this is what every disciple is called to do, is love God with all your heart. And the ultimate way that you express your love for God is these commands are married, is to actually love others as yourself, okay, which is a pretty big command. And then the only thing else you have to do is just make disciples. You just make disciples. And when you read this, you quickly go, I think this is impossible. And you're right. It is. And that's the first thing to understand, that it actually is impossible. It is beyond your limits. And so the whole understanding is it cannot be done in independence. It can only be done in connection to Jesus. And I think that I remember there's these times in my life. One time I was this. Who ever seen Mission Impossible, the movie? Okay, that's everybody. How many people have seen the TV show? Old people. Yeah, or people who like rerun channels. I love the old. I don't watch it anymore because I don't want to ruin it because it was so cool when I watched it. If I watch it again, it's going to be bad. But I loved it, man. I was a kid. I loved Mission Impossible. And of course, you guys know the beginning of the TV show Mission Impossible. You doesn't ask an old person. And they get together and there's this they have reel-to-reel tapes. It's this thing that tape goes around. And they little tape it gets this whole mission. And you know what? His mission is impossible, and it is. But he somehow pulls it off. But it's this impossible mission, and you're thinking, this is crazy. You know, he's looking at these files, and he goes, oh, and then what happens before the tape turns into smoke? Remember what he says? By the way, if this goes sideways, if something doesn't happen, if you mess up, you know, if you get killed, whatever, we will disavow any knowledge of what we've just told you. Basically, you're on your own. You've been assigned Mission Impossible. Go for it. And I began realizing that many times my life as a Christian, that is what being prompted by God feels like. I have this impossible mission, and I feel honored that He's given me this mission, But really what I feel like is, I can't do this. You know, I remember one time I was like I'd known Jesus for about a year, and my friend, high school, knew Jesus for about 3 months. And so he came up to me and says, "Dave, you're the pro. I got this real popular guy, this really popular, and I don't know why he asked me about a popular person, but he says, and I think he's in trouble, and I think he might be open to Jesus, but I'm kind of freaked out and telling him." So we pray, we scheme this plan, we go camping with him. I don't know why we came up with this. We prayed about it, we thought it was a good idea, and we went camping with this guy because I guess camping allows you to talk more or something. So we were praying like crazy. And I felt like we should do this with this guy. So we got him to go camping with us. And I was so nervous. This was Mission Impossible. This popper kid at school is not going to be open to Jesus, but we're on this mission. And I remember just freaking out the entire time till we got him in this camping situation. And we forgot an important factor is Jesus goes camping. I mean, we forgot that he actually has all kinds of... He stays with us, right? We forgot that he assigned us and actually went with us. And so we stumbled around, and amazingly, this guy received Christ. Now, he could have rejected it, and it wouldn't have made much difference because he was there, right? And he was there with us, and so the risk went away. We felt this connection with him as we experienced this whole time with Jesus camping with us. And we started realizing that really means that he goes with us always. And this is the key spot of understanding that God is omnipresent. And so when he assigns you things, it's not like, "Oh man, I got a lot of work to do, Stark. Why don't you go do this, and Anna, you do this, and Doug, you go do this, and come back to me." You know, it's like, he's not limited like that. He says, "Hey, you do this, and don't you leave without me. I'm coming with you." And he stays with us in everything we do. And that changes everything, all right? And so as we begin living out this commission and living out this commandment in our lives, we have to realize that he wants to come. The whole thing, when you look at this, these disciples, when they heard him at the before his ascension, he says, you know, it's kind of interesting. He's saying, "Here's the deal. I will be with you always." And he disappears. I think, what? You know? It's like, but he was. Even more so. In fact, you watch what happens after he ascended and the Holy Spirit came. He was with them. It seemed like stronger. Everywhere they went, things happened, and God was with them, and they understood that. And so we have to understand that's what they were wondering to know, was like, how are we going to do this making the disciple deal? He goes, "Here's how you're going to do it. I'm going to stay with you." That changes everything in how we live our lives. And so when we grasp this, let's talk about this whole thing of going with us. When God is with us, these things occur that are so fulfilling. And so that's what I want to talk about, a few of these things that happen. The first thing that's kind of so fulfilling is we actually get to express God's character supernaturally through us. That's a pretty cool deal. And we also get to express God's power through us. And what the scripture would call the fruit of the Spirit and also the gifts of the Spirit. Now, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, He made sure they understood, this is how you live the life out on earth. And he says this way, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then later, again, he explains the outcome of this. When we do this, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. This is how we know it. This is how we know who God is when we do this. When we abide in God. When we the branch is a tree with a branch on it. We're connected to the trunk. And we take all our substance, our source, our life from that. And apart from that trunk, we can do nothing. The understanding is the more we move out in what God is asking us, the more we get connected, not the less we get connected. The more we get dependent, not the less we become dependent. So as we go through that, that just changes everything. Now, the other thing I'd say is this, when that happens and you're connected, this character gets expressed. And this is called the fruit of the Spirit. In And there's, as we're abiding with God and allowing Him in and connecting to Him to greater and greater degrees to accomplish the fruit and do the things that He wants us to do, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now this is pretty cool because this is showing, it's in contrast with the what comes out of our characteristics when we lean onto our flesh, our natural tendencies, which is a whole bunch of bad stuff. And he says, no, but when you abide with the Spirit, this stuff starts coming out of you. Now here's the question. When you're abiding with God and you're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you, the fruit of the Spirit, all these things, who is benefiting? Both the people around you, but you're benefiting. Because in your core of who you are, you're experiencing the presence of God transforming you and changing you. And at the same time, it's blessing and touching the other people as you go through it. You know, I'm a person who, I mean, I have plenty of issues with pride and self-righteousness even now, and I still have all kinds of stuff. But I remember, I was thinking back, when I was first a newer Christian, I was the most arrogant, judgmental, intolerant. I was grumpy, almost. I was irritable, very righteously, irritable at people all the time. And I started looking, and I started realizing, as I read that, I thought to myself, and I can say this is only a work that could happen from God, is if I would describe myself as a new Christian, I was always upset. I was intolerant. I was a bit unkind most all the time. I didn't, and over time, because of just being around God, not because of any goodness in me, I can say that I truly now have a peace that I can't even put in words that I had never had before. I'm able to forbear things I could never tolerate before, and I actually am kind some of the time. I'm still working on that one. It's a little rough on me sometimes. But what I realize is this: God is actually transforming me and changing me. And that does two things. It allows me to bring the character of God to people because of God coming through, but it also gives me a lot better life. And that's fulfilling. The other thing that's kind of cool is when we connect with God is that we actually get to experience His power coming through us. And you guys have seen these verses where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. There's many other verses we could have used. But it's talking about the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. One's giving the Spirit of wisdom or the message of knowledge. One's given faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers. Another given prophecy, distinguishing the Spirit, speaking in different types of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And it says all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And so when we're connected to God, He gives us His fruit of His Spirit, but He also gives us His power. You know? So He gives us the love of His character, but He also gives us His power. Now, for me, when I grew up, I was always the fruit of the Spirit guy. You know? I was questionable on those charismatics who were the gifts of the Spirit guys, you know, or gals. And so I always believed in the gifts of the Spirit. I always believed that God could still heal today, and God could still have prophetic words, and God could still deliver people from demonic oppression. I always believed that theologically. But in practice, I was always like, yeah, but I'm a fruit of the Spirit guy, you know? And what I realized is that is really incomplete. And because, see, you have to understand, the fruit of the Spirit is not spiritual maturity. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is more spiritual maturity and character transformation, right? It's growing into the place that God is truly transforming your inner being and allowing His characteristics to come out of you. That's true spiritual maturity. Spiritual gifting is just, He just gives it to everybody, you know. He just graciously gives the dumps gifts on us if we want to use them. And so you can be operating spiritual gifts with hardly any character, you know. And so I think, well, that means that's not important. Only problem I realized is I wasn't helping very many people because I didn't realize these gifts of spirits were to bring the love and power of God into places that people needed supernatural transformation. And when Debbie and I first, I would say probably the most, a little before California, but when we went to California, we started doing this thing like just praying for people, my wife Debbie and I. And I talked to you about this before, but we felt like, where have we been? You know, I worked really hard on character. And I just had no power to help anybody. I just tell them to read a Bible verse and shape up, you know. And I had no power. And so we started praying for people. And I remember, I've told you this before, but we'd get done with these, with our small group, and it'd be like 11 o'clock. We were so tired. And we were so filled and so fulfilled that God used me supernaturally. This is crazy. A wacky person like me, God came through me, and God showed me this, and God healed this person. We had never even understood it. And we realized this is love, God's love being expressed in power through us. And that is fulfilling. It changes everything. Now, the other thing is that this is another thing that happens when we talk about God being with us. When you work with somebody towards a purpose, a common purpose that you're both doing, that does something in a relationship. You know what I mean? It changes you. If you think about maybe people who have been in a war together fighting a cause, and there's something about that happens when you work and you fight together. And when we understand that when we are asked to be a worker, we're joining God in His work. We're joining with Him, and we're doing it together. And the effect is that we're connected, you know. And so if you think about the disciples, we always say, oh, the disciples, it's so cool. They got to be around Jesus for 3 years, you know. And over the 3 years, what do you see happening? They grow in their relationship with God. Why? Because they joined His work. They joined into His work, and they worked with Him. And in working with Him, they discovered who He was. And they connected to Him in a way nothing else could happen. Now, it's interesting, as you think about the history, this is an interesting thing about God. As God is a loving God, and we have a relationship with Him, and our love for Him will increase. Do you understand that the very nature of a healthy relationship, the very nature of a loving relationship, is it gets better? So do you understand when Peter first started and he said, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men, that was his start of a relationship. But when it got to later on in his life, he knew God better. He had more history over time that had built relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus, right? And so here's a question. When did Peter's relationship start with Jesus and stop with Jesus? You know, he started saying, come, I'll make you fisher of men. Come, let me show you how to do the work. I want to put you to work. He starts to work. Did it stop when Jesus raised to heaven? No. In fact, if we look at his history, he had all this history that most of it was after Jesus left. And yet, if you read his writings and Peter and interactions in his church, he had all this history of God going through everything with him as he stayed joining his work. Now, here's what that means. That means for you and I, the same is available. If we join Christ in His work, we can build history and relationship and have stories that we share together. And this is phenomenal stuff. And that is fulfilling. That's amazing. Now, let me say for some of you, a little side note here. And I say this because I went through a period of time in my life in which that I was so much wanting to understand who God was in a real personal way. And I read books on it. I analyzed. I did Bible study after Bible study. I went to church. I went through my routines. And I did get to know God a little better. But when I looked at what I saw in Scripture, I thought, I don't get what these guys get. And I realized, here's the thing. To know God, you have to join His work. You know, you have to join His mission. You can't say, well, I want to learn about His mission. I want to understand all the facts about His mission. No, you have to go in and love people. You have to join His mission. And until you do that, you will not be connected and it won't be as relational as what you want it to be. So some of you are trying to understand who God is and you're working all you can to try to get all the facts in order. But if you want to really know God, you have to jump in and say yes to His mission. And in that context, He begins showing and revealing Himself to you. The last thing is this, is when we work with Jesus and God is with us, we realize that God has much more for us than we expected or believed was possible. Now, this is a, I know this is a trick he played on me, or he does it for everybody, but here's what happens oftentimes when you begin caring and loving people in a way that God is birthing it and using you, whether it means you're showing love to someone by just caring for them and helping them in a situation like the Good Samaritan we talked about, or whether you're going out and praying for somebody like the 72 prayed for the people that they didn't know and God's power came and transformed them. Whatever that is that when you start doing that, you start loving and letting God express His character and His gifting through you, here's what's going to happen. You're going to discover who He is in ways that you couldn't otherwise. So here's, I remember one time I was praying for this person, and I'm feeling the love of God for this person. It was not me, trust me. And I was feeling the love of God for this person. I could see how God made them. I could see their potential. It was so much like I just thought, this is amazing. This is who God's made you to be, and this is what God wants to say. And I felt like right in the middle of it, it's like God just kind of froze the situation, turned to me and said, by the way, it's not just for them. That's the way I feel about you. You know, when you're in those situations, you often will find that you realize that you're not excluded, you know, and you start understanding God's heart for other people. And then you start realizing, wait a second, I bet you that's what He feels about me. You know, I've had times where I'm talking to someone and I'm so understanding. They need to understand the forgiveness of God. They need to know they're loved by God. They need to know they're a child of God. And God says, you do need to know that right now. You know, and all of a sudden I realize I didn't understand that. And there's times that you'll have times where you see someone and you'll think, you see what God could do through them. And you, as you start seeing that, you start realizing God has so much more for me than I can possibly imagine. It's not just for them. It's for every one of us. And so when we start ministering like this, we find ourselves in places in which that we start understanding what's coming out of us is for us as well. So those things are pretty fulfilling things. Those are some things that are about the best job you can have on this earth. To be able to be a place in which that God can truly express His character and His power through you. And that you get to know Him as you join Him. And He builds relationship with you as He stays with you. And as He does it, He communicates His love and His potential and His purpose for you as well. So here's a couple of kind of challenges. And here's a verse that kind of describes that before we get to that. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Isn't that cool? If we love others, we get a glimpse of God. And as we do it, we actually have His love completed in us. Now, that's fulfilling. Now, a couple things that I want to just challenge you with as we close. And these are kind of straightforward, but first off is make your life's mission the great commandment and the great commission. I mean, it may look different for people how that plays out, but you can't find anything more solid to base your life on. And you are designed for this. If you want to find fulfillment, figure out how God wants to do that through you. And so, no matter what your career is, no matter what your plans are, this needs to be your life mission because it's God's life's mission for you. And as you join Him in that, that's where you're going to find how God has made you and why He's made you and why He's put you on this earth. Now, understand right off that to do that top part, you got to realize it's totally impossible. Okay? You think it's impossible, you think, absolutely, you're in a good spot. It is impossible. But know that God will say, just what He did to disciples, don't worry. I will go with you. We'll figure this out. I will help you take steps. I will teach you. I'll be alongside you. I'll never leave you. I'll stay with you the entire time we learn how to do this. And then, as you bring the love and power and truth about God to others, you will discover it for yourself. Now, as a church, you know, This is how we advance the kingdom. This is how we do what we're made to do, is by loving God with all we have and loving others as ourselves. And as we step out in that, both in revealing God's character in dependence upon God, it literally changes the lives of people. And in the process, we discover the fulfillment, the fullness of life, because we have God with us in all of life. Our suffering, our disappointments, our rejections, our acceptance of the way God comes, and we get to experience Him. Why don't you stand?